Italian. Amen. Thank you very much. We'll explain that to you later, how that came about. But you ever have a job that you thought was exciting for about 5 minutes and then you realized it wasn't? I had a job stuffing envelopes and licking envelopes. And that was fun for about 3 minutes. In Argentina, we hired this these guys. We got to know them, and we need to put the floor down on the second floor. And, you know, you have to put the cement and all that and level it out. And so we asked them, how much should we pay you? And they told us what they wanted to pay each day. And so we said, fine, we'll pay you exactly what you want. And they started off, and they're doing it. And the first day, they get a lot done. The second day, not so much done. The third day, not. And then it just seemed like week after week, they're going really slow, and they're not doing much. And finally, I said to him, I said, so what's going on here? I mean, in the beginning, you guys got a lot done, and then later on, you're not doing what you're just doing a little bit. He said, I would work harder if you paid me more. I said, you guys put the price. You told us exactly what we should pay you. Yeah, but we realize it's not enough. So we're going to work less. And we're going to make more money by taking our time. And we're going to get this done when we want to get it done. And I said to them, you are done today. And we got other workers. Isn't it amazing how easy it is for us to lose our enthusiasm and have a bad attitude when God calls us to do something? In fact, I love telling the kids this. What's the difference between a good game and a bad game? And what do you think their answer is? You win, right? They want to win. No, the difference between a good game and a bad game is your attitude and effort. We can win and you can have a bad attitude. That's not a good game. Or we can lose and have a good attitude, and that's a good game. What's the difference between a good day at work and a bad day at work? Some people say, well, a bad day at work is when I don't have to work. No, really, what it is the difference between a good attitude and a good effort. Don't forget those two words. Because if you think life is hard, and here's what happens. Kids go to school, and they start taking classes, and they start questioning some of those classes. Why do I need this? It's not going to help me when I get older. Why do I need to do this? Anybody ever say that to their parents or ever hear that before? Why do I got to study this? This ain't going to help me. Why do I got to do this? And they have a bad attitude, and they don't want to get anything done. And then they think, if I just get a job and make money, life is going to be so good. And then they go to their first job, and what do they say? Oh, this job is horrible. Why do I got to work this? And why do I got to do this? And then they go to their next job, and oh, why do I got to do this? And their whole life is, why do I got to do this? And their attitude is terrible. And their effort is horrible. Now, if you look at this passage of Scripture, he's going to tell us in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 6, that we need to make sure we have the right attitude, and we need to make sure that we have the right effort when we're doing what God wants us to do. And if we ever think that our lives are tough and that what we do on this earth is hard, look at verse 1 here of this passage. It says this, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. It says, all those who are under the yoke as what? Slaves. How would you like that life? You say, wait a minute, what is he talking about? Well, you can't read America into this verse. He's not talking about pre-Civil War slavery. He's not talking, it has nothing to do with your ethnic group. It has everything to do with the economy and how you grew up or how you were born. There were people that were born poor, and because they were born poor, they became slaves, or they were sold into slavery to escape poverty. Back then, when he writes this, you know how many slaves there were? There were 50 to 60 million slaves in the world. Some of them were doctors. Some of them were cooks. Some of them were teachers. But they were slaves. They were either sold into slavery, they were born into it, but they were trying to do it. And if you worked hard, you can get out of it by the age of 30. A lot of them did. But look what he's saying here in verse 1. He's saying, you're under this yoke. This is a difficult situation. This is a hard life. This is not an easy life because you got a boss. And in verse 1, this boss is not a believer. In verse 2, we're going to see a boss that is a believer. It makes it a little bit easier. But in verse 1, they don't have it. So they're under this yoke. They're under this slavery. They're doing things. They have no rights. They have to bow down to the will of their bosses. He says, what do you should do in this situation? Notice this in verse 1. All who are under the yoke as slaves. Here's what you do. You should protest and not go to work. Is that what it says? You ever wonder why Jesus didn't just come and the Apostle Paul didn't just come and end slavery as it was back in that world? You ever wonder why they didn't just do that? Let me tell you this. Slavery was never God's design. It's a result of sin. And because of sin, every system that we work in, no matter what you are, is broken and tainted and hard. So he is saying here, there is something that will make a difference. And this is why Paul has to address this here. Jesus came and preached the good news, the gospel. And under the gospel now, when somebody accepts Christ, whether you're a master or a slave, we're all one in Jesus. And now things change. And so here's what he's saying here. He's saying, if you're a slave, here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to hold up picket signs. I don't want you to stop working. Here's what I want you to do. First thing, check your attitude. I want you to regard your masters as worthy of what? All honor. In other words, he's saying here is we ought to, this is not, has nothing to do with our feelings. This is not how we feel about the person. It has nothing. We are to give them worthy of honor, all respect. Why? Because they are made in the image of God. And they have worth. You say, you don't know the person that I'm working for. You don't know my teacher. You don't know my parent. And you can just go down the line. But I want to show you a verse. Look at this here. Now, if you can hit the next verse here. Look at this one here. 1 Peter 2:18. It says this. You think this is easy? Servants, be submissive to your masters with all what is the word? See the attitude? This is an attitude. This is an attitude of honor. This is considering this person worthy of honor. Now you say, which ones? Not only those who are good and gentle, this is amazing, but also those who are, say it. You ever work for anyone unreasonable? You want to know what this word means? In the Greek, morally twisted. This person is morally twisted. They don't know God. They can care less about God. They can care less about you. They can care less if they work you to death. They can care less about how you feel. But yet in the midst of all that, you are to show them respect, honor, worthy of honor. Inside of your heart, you ought to respect them. You say, Jeremy, why is this so important? Well, turn back to 1 Timothy 6 because this is amazing. There are two important reasons right here in verse 1 of why we ought to have the right attitude when God has called us to do things, regardless of the other people that we're doing it for. Here's why. He says, you ought to regard your masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God, don't miss this. In other words, what he's saying is God's name is on the line. And we don't want to bring disrespect to God's name. And when we go out and do something as believers, we are carrying with us the very name of God. And when we show disrespect to people, we are telling them that they should disrespect our God. He says, don't go there. The name of the Lord is on the line. When I worked FedEx, I got this guy a job that was in seminary with me. I said, you can get this job with me. And, you know, because I'm the only one that's in the seminary working at this place. It'd be great to have two more of a testimony, more that they'll see Jesus Christ. Well, this guy goes through the training. He gets the job. And then I get this message. Hey, Jeremy, can you check on Route 72? He's disappeared. Route 72. So I can't get a hold of the guy. So I go over to Route 72, look for the guy. I can't find him. And the dispatch says, you need to do his route. We don't know where this guy is. Find out that what he did is he got frustrated with the job. He took the truck, parked the truck at the station, and went home and told nobody. Do you know how happy my boss was that I got him that job? You call yourselves Christians, and this is how you work? We carry the name of God with us. And when our attitudes, and when we're lazy, and we have disrespect, and we want to rebel against places, we are saying that you can blaspheme the name of God when we do that. His name is on the line. But not only that, look at this verse. This is beautiful. Look what he says here. He says here, so that you ought to show respect so that this person has no reason to say something against the name of God. If you disrespect them, they're not going to want your God. But look at this also. In our doctrine, he's talking about the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is this, that there is a holy God and man has sinned and failed that God. I don't care how great we are, we're all sinners and we fall short of the glory of God. But Jesus Christ came and he died for our sins, was buried, and he rose again. And here's the good news. All who receive Jesus Christ by faith are saved. Does it stop there? And when somebody is saved, he becomes a new creature. All things have passed away. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are what? New. In other words, the gospel changes lives. The gospel changes motivations. The gospel makes us into what God wants us to be when we accept it. He says, you don't want people saying, are you a Christian and you have that kind of bad attitude and you work like that and do those things and disrespect people, the name of God and the very gospel we preach? I was thinking of some of the grades I got in my first year of college. They were not good. And you know why they weren't good? Because all the teachers were bad. Amen. But my second year, third year, and fourth year were amazing. Do you know why? Because in my second year, I got saved. And the gospel changed my life. He said, you got the name of God on the line, and you have the gospel on the line. You don't want them speaking against those things. But here's where it gets amazing. So our attitude here, in verse 1, we have to watch against. But now notice the effort that we have to watch against in verse 2. Because now in verse 2, we have bosses that are believers. And so we have to submit to bosses that are believers. And we think to ourselves, they're believers. We're equals. We don't have to work so hard for them. They're forgiving. They love God, you know. You ever see those people that like to take advantage of believers? Oh, you're a Christian, huh? You're a wonderful person. Are you going to give me days off? Are you going to pay me more? We're all believers. We're all in the family of God. You don't care how much I do. You don't care about anything. We're all together. We're all one in Christ. Watch what he says about this. Verse 2. He says, those who have believers, and some are really blessed to work for Christian bosses. That is a wonderful thing. Praise God for that. Not many are able to do that, but if you're able to do that, praise the Lord. Here's how you ought to do. He says, you must not be, what's the word? The word is literally looked down upon. Or to not hold them up to the place that they ought to be, or to lose enthusiasm and to think, you know what? I don't have to give my best because we're all one in Christ. To think that you're special because you have a boss like that. And you get the special privileges because you name the name of Jesus. Watch out with that. In fact, look at this. This is beautiful. You don't look down on them. You don't do that. You don't lose motivation. But watch this. They're brethren. And look at this next part. Don't miss this next part of the verse. But you must serve them how much? Say it. All the more. You give them all the intensity, all that you got. You don't slack off. You give them every effort, all of it. You don't just go in there. You're not a 9-to-5 punching out. You're not one of those union guys. I'm sorry to pick on you guys for a moment. The union guy, I'm on break right now. Don't talk to me. We need the shovel. I'm union. I'll shovel in 15 minutes when my break's over. And they're doing it, and my break again. I'm union. And all of a sudden, you know, they just get their things done, and they're done. Clock out, they can't wait to get done. They do just the minimum. They just do, no. When we work, if we're a believer here today, we work with everything we got. We give it all we got. Everything we got. I love that phrase, all the more, Milan in the Greek, and then doulos. You're all the more of a slave. You slave it more, he says. You think you're a slave now? Slave it more. Give it everything you got. When we're at the workplace, no matter what it is, when we do school, we do sports, we preach, whatever we do, we give it all we got. Everything inside of us. We don't just get up here and say, well, I got to about 11:30. We're done. Lord bless you. See you tomorrow. Oh, no, you're getting it. With everything. You give that intensity. You don't lose that motivation. And he's going to give reasons why. Look at this here. He's saying, here's why you give it all you got. Because those who partake of it benefit. Don't miss it. That's the first thing. Benefit in what? You're serving the Lord together. You're doing things as Christians together. You're doing things that make a difference. That's a wonderful life. There's an amazing benefit to it. It will last. It will make an impact, not only here on this earth, but for all eternity. You give it all you got. You're both benefiting as believers. There's fellowship there. There's wonderful things as you work with other believers. We looked at Aquila and Priscilla in the youth group, and they teamed up with Paul. How wonderful would that? Can you imagine teaming up with Paul? The messages they got all the time, you know? Paul's like, let's stop working for a minute. I want to tell you a little bit about the Bible here. And that what they learned about the Bible and how they worked, and they were amazing together. Look at the second thing he says here. Not only that, he says they will benefit from your work. You'll give you a mutual benefit. And then also, they're believers. Be very careful about taking advantage of other believers and saying, oh, we're both believers. I'm not going to worry. Ah, you don't have to pay me. We're all believers. Ah, you don't. You're not. Who cares? Ah, we're all believers. Be careful about that attitude. And then the last thing is look at this here. You're beloved. Know what he's saying? Is that if you truly love other people, you're not going to cut corners. You're going to give them your very best. They are beloved before God. You are beloved before God. You give them your best. You say, Jeremy, why do you have to tell us about these things? Well, look what the verse says here. You need to teach and preach what? These principles. You know why I have to do this? Because there's kids that show up to school. And they show up and they go to school and they're sitting there like this while the teacher, I don't need this. I don't want this. I don't have to do this. There's people who go to work and they're just doing a little bit minimal. And they sing the song before they work. I owe. So off to work I go. And that's their song. What does that mean? They're working to pay their debts. And they hate what they do. You know why we have to teach this? Because nowadays, are you ready for this? Kids in their 20s. Still don't know if they should go to work, if they should get married, if they should have kids. They are growing up a lot longer now than ever before. Why? Because there's no attitude and there's no effort in their lives. I think God, I know God knew that we were going to speak on this, and I know God, what he did is he put us to test with this. You know how? Our snow guy wrote me this week and said, sorry, we can't help you plow the parking lot this week. He's a wonderful snow guy. He can help us every time it doesn't snow. But when it snows, he couldn't help us. God knew that there was going to be, I don't know, over a foot of snow out there in the parking lot. I was ignorant. I thought me and Jesse, and I pulled Joshua out of bed, and he loved that, and David, and we came here with shovels, and I thought we were going to bang it out in a moment. We called Devin and Trish. We thought we would get this thing done in 15, 20, maybe an hour. Ho, ho, ho. And let me tell you, by God's grace, their attitudes were beautiful. Most of them, I won't mention a few, but attitudes were beautiful. Their effort was amazing. They were breaking their back. John was there breaking back. And there's people. I mean, God was just bringing people. Jesse was the phone caller. We need you. We need you. Come. And then another person came. And God just brought, our neighbor came. Now, here's where this gets beautiful. Our neighbor, I've only said hi and bye. That's about it. You know, neighbors here in Colorado. I mean, if you get to say hi and bye, that's pretty good. He comes over. He's working with us. He's seeing the beautiful attitude. They're building snowmen. They're throwing snow at each other. They're shoveling. Here we are picking it up, and they're throwing it at each other. I won't mention it. We're picking it out. They're having a blast out here. It was like a winter party. And somebody said, you need to invite our neighbor to church. And before I can even invite him to church, he looks at me. He saw the attitude and the effort, and he says, I want to come to your place. He said, I'm going to come visit you guys. Could you imagine if he was out there and we were like, I hate this snow. Snow, I hate. I don't want a shovel. Forget about it. I'm not doing it. Pastor, why'd you call me? I'm picking a different church. I should have kept my phone on Do Not Disturb. What about this? More snow? Oh, this is all the worst snow of the year. Ho, ho, ho. Do you think our neighbor would want Jesus when we're doing that? But yet, with the right attitude and the right effort, it's amazing what God can do. You see, Paul didn't say, you know what, we need to abolish slavery. He said this, you want to make an impact on your bosses, you make sure your attitude and your effort is right. And you want to know what's amazing? Over the years, Christianity made a tremendous impact on the slavery of the Bible. Sad thing is a lot of people didn't learn, and it kept repeating itself to where it is now. So here's my question for you. What's the difference between a good day at work and a bad day at work? Your attitude and effort. What's the difference between a good day at school and a bad day at school? Your attitude and effort. What's the difference between a good day at home and a bad day at home? Your attitude and effort. What's the difference when we get out on the court and we're playing the sports against the other team? What's the difference between a good game and a bad game? It's your attitude and your effort. May God use us to have the right attitude and the right effort as we live on this earth. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you so much for this passage of Scripture. And although sometimes we try to read what we are here in America in this text, it does apply in many ways. Father, oftentimes we have this horrible attitude towards people. And we justify it because we look at the faults in them when that doesn't please you. We're to count people, and especially those who are in our authority, as worthy of respect. And then, Lord, some that get to work for believing bosses, Father, whether or not that's true, God, we are to give everything we got. We are to serve all the more. Because we know what we're doing for you will last not only on this earth, but also for all eternity. So God, help us to never bring a disgrace to your name and to never bring a disgrace to the gospel that changes lives. Father, I pray if there's anyone here today that hasn't embraced the gospel, that today would be the day that they would say, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. That Jesus died for my sins. He was buried and he rose again. And right now I want to put my faith in him alone for salvation. I don't want to trust in anything I could ever do. But I trust in what Jesus has done for me. And I ask him to come into my life and save me. If that's the desire of your heart, you can do that right where you are. And then I want to ask you, how's your attitude? How's your effort? When you go to work, do you have the right attitude? Are you giving it your best? Or are you just trying to get through the day? Remember, they're watching you, and you're representing our God. So, Father, we come before you and we say, today, Lord, help us. We can't do this without your Holy Spirit. Help our attitudes and help our efforts. So easy to lose enthusiasm because the things that we do on this earth are so hard. But, Father, help us to remember that we are representing you and what we do will make an impact. We partake in the benefit. So thank you for that. We praise you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen.